May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Before we start this message this morning, this is the only thing I have left of my cold is a cough. So I may need to take a time out during the message, and I will not do like I did at the 8 o'clock service and cough into the microphone to wake up those who might have been sleeping during the sermon, because I know you are a much more faithful bunch. But I will cough somewhere along the line, so I'm just warning you. It's an old pastor story. These three pastors get together and talk about their mutual problems and things that are going on in their churches. It so happened, amazingly, that all three churches had been infested with bats in their steeples, in their belfries. They were making a terrible mess in each one of the churches. One pastor said, "I got so mad that I got a shotgun and shot at them. And all it did was put holes in the ceiling and did nothing to the bats." Second pastor said, "Well, I tried trapping them alive. And then I drove them 50 miles before releasing them. But they were back at the church before I was." Third pastor said, "I don't have any more problem with the bats." "Well, what did you do? What did you do? Tell us," the other pastor said. "We'll do the same thing." He said, I simply baptized and confirmed them." He replied, "And I haven't seen them since." Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Well, this is a Sunday in the church year that we talk about baptism. It's reflected in our scriptures, Romans, which this message is based on, and also that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, a kind of different baptism, but we still talk about baptism, because baptism is at the heart of our Christian faith. Now, it seems like such a simple thing. You put some water on a person, or in some churches, you immerse them, whatever, you're using water, and it seems like such a simple ceremony, but actually, something great is going on. But because it's so simple, it's easily disregarded. But it's a sacrament. It's a mystery in which God continually does something significant in our lives. Continually. Goes on. It opens the door for God to pour his grace, as I said, continually into our lives. There are three ways that I'm going to talk about where baptism is powerfully operative in the lives of his people. And it's why we should often remember that we are baptized Christians. And as baptized Christians, what it means to our life in Christ on an ongoing basis. The first point is, in our scripture, it says we're baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, it means that when you were baptized, you were united, you were melded into Jesus Christ. You don't have to understand the mechanics of this, and you probably can't, I can't, but you can know it's true, absolutely true. Everything Jesus did through his life, death, and resurrection is applied to you through baptism. Sin is no longer a barrier between you and the Father because it has been washed away, washed away. Some of you may remember this movie of quite a while ago now, "O Brother, Where Art Thou?" Anybody seen that movie? Oh my goodness, yes. You are movie watchers, right? It's a whimsical retelling of Homer's Odyssey set in 1930s Mississippi. And the three main characters are these three hapless convicts, Everett, Pete, and especially Delmer. All right, Delmer. They're hiding out in the woods. They're running from the law. And they have an encounter with a procession of white-colored robes of people heading to the lake to be baptized, right? And they're singing as they go, "Let's go down to the river and pray." And I don't know what the song was, but... And these three, Everett, Pete, and Delmer, are watching this. And Delmer gets all excited as he's watching the beauty of what's going on and the rite of baptism and the mystery of it. And he can't contain himself. And he goes running down and runs into the lake. And he gets baptized. Minister baptizes Delmer. As he returns to his companion, he declares that he is now saved. And neither God nor man's got nothing on him now. Because, as he explains, the minister said, "My sins have been washed away. Even that sin when I stole that pig for which I was convicted of," he said. And the other two said, "Well, you said you were innocent." "I lied, and that's washed away too." Later, the three convicts steal a hot pie from the windowsill. Delmer, who had his sins washed away, gets convicted. He goes back and he puts a dollar on the windowsill. Now, Delmer wasn't made perfect by baptism any more than you were made perfect when you were baptized. But he was conscious that God had made a new beginning in his life. That's why, understanding our baptism, we begin with the washing away of sins. Because baptism, you see, is a promise that God will continually forgive our sins as we seek his forgiveness. We need to remember that it was God's doing, not ours. Baptism is a pure gift of grace to us. It is not we do some and he does some. It is not our pledge to reform ourselves, but it's rather God's pledge to forgive us and save us. Baptism is wonderful. And that's the first thing that's operative in our life, we who have been baptized, is the continual forgiveness of our sins. Secondly, baptism tells us who we are. You know, in good times and bad times, we really need to know who we are. Maybe that's not something we think of very often. But baptism, being a baptized Christian, tells us you are a beloved child, a man, woman of God. You are beloved by God, forgiven, redeemed, saved, justified, reconciled, person of God. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. Stop and think about that. This is your identity. God has taken you and made you his. You belong to him, right? You belong to him. You know, we hear people say things like this: "I'll do what I want. It's my life." Not if you're a baptized Christian, it isn't. It's not your life. You belong to God. Hear people say, "I'm contemplating suicide. It's my life. It's my decision." No, you're not. Not if you're a baptized Christian. You belong to him. Or a couple decides to have an abortion. "It's our bodies and we will do what we want." No, that's not true if you're a baptized Christian. You belong to God. You know, that applies to most every decision we make in life. If we belong to God, we must and will want to do as he says. We belong to you, God. I know many a baptized Christian long ago stopped thinking like this, stopped thinking about their identity or who they belong to. In the course of the life, when they were making decisions, they just said to themselves, now what should I do? And they usually followed their desires lots of times. And they forgot that they were baptized Christians. But you know what? Our compassionate and loving and merciful God, once he has claimed you, won't let you off the hook so easily. God is relentless in claiming what is God's. And in baptism, God says, you belong to him. You belong to him. Not only do you belong to God, but God has taken you now and made you a part of a family. And that family is called the church. The whole Christian church on earth, we have family members that live in the continent of Africa, right? But also this family, your grace family, your family. And like any family, then you have to give them higher priority and take more responsibility for your family. So if anyone is hurting in our midst, we need to help them. If anyone needs a kind of a redirection in their life, we have to have enough courage to say, hey, brother or sister, you know, we think you're going the wrong way here. To some, even have the role of rebuking and correcting and maybe disciplining others. That's the role we give to pastors and elders. You know, it's always because we love them and always for their good. You're in a family because you're related to Jesus Christ and he's put you together with other people. He's our brother. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. This identity that we've been given is especially important when we're under attack from Satan. Or when we're under attack from our own sin life, right? The old man rises up. I love the story of Martin Luther, who on those dark and discouraging days when Satan's fiery darts were finding their target in him, who would say on those occasions, over and over again, out loud, I am baptized, I am baptized. Obviously it was in German. I'm baptized. This is who I am. This is my identity. I'm a man of God. I'm a man of Christ. Right? That was his true identity. So we have the washing of forgiveness of sins, and now we have our identity. And the third way that baptism is powerfully operative in our life is that it brings a powerful force into our life. And that would be the Holy Spirit takes residence in our life and gives us a new power. In the Roman scripture, it reveals an important truth. In our natural state, we are tied up with this. We got chains on, right? The chains on. In our natural state, we're a slave to sin. It controls us, it masters us. And why a lot of people don't know it is they're deceived by it. They're deceived by sin. They think they're free. Oh, I do what I want. No, you don't. You do what your old man or old woman in you causes you to do. You're enslaved. You don't even know it has a hold on you, but it has a powerful hold on you. You know, I use as a kind of an illustration of this. I'm one of five, and my oldest sibling, my sister Susan, was a nurse, and she was a really good nurse. In fact, I brag on her a little bit. She got called to join the heart transplant team in Texas when they were first doing that. She didn't take it, but she was that good a nurse, right? And she was the only sibling who smoked. Only sibling who smoked. She did a lot of other things that we didn't do either. She was kind of a rebel for a while, you know. And so I took that occasion to ask her as a nurse, What's probably one of the worst ways to die? Terrible question, I know. And she said without hesitation, I think, in my experience, it was lung cancer. So I said, hey, sis, why are you smoking? You know? Right? Way back then, a lot of nurses smoked. I don't know if they still do, but a lot of nurses. My dentist used to smoke right when he was working on me. I know, it's crazy. I tell that my wife never could believe it, but he did, you know. It's okay. Here's what my sister said, I'll never forget it. She said, I can quit at any time. I can quit at any time. She would rue the day she said that, because when she doesn't smoke anymore. When she finally tried to stop smoking, it was a battle. It was a battle. But here's the point I make with that illustration. She didn't realize the hold that it had on her, that addiction had on her. And just so, we don't know the hold that sin has on us. But now, united with Christ through baptism, we can count ourselves dead to sin, as it says in Romans, and alive in Christ. Sin will no longer have mastery because we're under grace. Now, understand this clearly. We still sin. We still sin. But we can fight it because now the chains are off. When we do sin, we're sad when previously it didn't bother us. We're alert to its deceptions. Before St. Augustine was converted, he was something of a sex addict. If you read his life, you can find that out pretty quickly in his confessions. After his conversion to Christ, he came to a town that had previously he had visited, and he was recognized by a woman that he had had sex with, a prostitute. And he was warm to her, he was kind, he was nice, he was courteous to her. The prostitute thought his actions were odd and that maybe Augustine had mistook her for someone else. And she said to him, Augustine, it is I. Augustine replied, I know, but it is not I. He was a new person. He had been baptized by St. Ambrose, and his conversion made him have a new life. He was essentially born again. When that baptismal grace is working in our lives, it does transform us. Our desires, our appetites, our attitudes are changed. Then we actually are free people. We are free to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and battle against our sin nature and battle against Satan's attacks. The chains are broken. We must never want to have them again in our life. We will sin, yes, but the mastery over this sin that it had once on us is done. We can choose to act righteously and lovingly. We can and will know when sin is deceiving us. So I want to ask you, are you baptized? Then you have been united in Christ with the promise of forgiveness and salvation. Are you baptized? Then you have an identity as a beloved child, man, or woman of God. You belong to Him and He's placed you in a family to support you and encourage you. Are you baptized? Then you have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, and you can count yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ, and you can live a good life in honor of the Lord. You only need one baptism. Are you baptized? If you're not, right now, if you have the courage to do this, I'll baptize you right now. Right now. You can come before This is not a matter of embarrassment. Not at all. I'll baptize you or baptize your child later on if you'd like. Right. Don't go through life without being baptized and all that it gives us and God's claim on your life. So I'm going to count down to 10. If there's anybody who wants to come up, I'll have an elder roll out the baptismal font. I'll spray you from where you're at if you want. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Okay, if you're still out there, check with me. We'll do this baptism thing because God wants this. Let us thank the Lord for the miracle of baptism. In the name of Jesus and to his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's rise. May the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.